The scripture reading this morning is from James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. James 4, verses 2 and 3. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
If I could get everybody to turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. While we're doing that, just want to say again, we're just so thankful for all the visitors that are here, and we just invite you guys back whenever you can make it here. It's so nice to see the visitors and that, and it just fills us out, and the singing's much better and that, so it's just nice to see everybody here, and we invite you here, and anytime you can come back, Just come back, please. We just want to see you all the time here. We're in Matthew, the sixth chapter, and looking over in verse 1 of chapter 6, we're looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here, and continuing with this little series I got here. So we're looking in Matthew 6 chapter, verse 1, and it says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret, He Himself will reward you openly. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Take you down a trip down memory lane here. How many of you people have ever heard of the term the white elephant? This has been a white elephant. This is kind of a term started in the Civil War, and it means an effort, a project that availed to nothing. It was a waste of time. It was just this big old project. You put all kinds of time into this thing, a lot of effort on the working of this thing, maybe a lot of money got spent while doing this thing, and in the end, it was all for nothing. You know, the building was never used, or maybe later it had to be torn down, or it's still standing, but nobody's using it, and it's just weeds growing around it, and you drive by it, and you go, you know, that was a white elephant that they spent all that on that stuff. It's just a big monument to futility. And if we would take a poll, I'm pretty sure that about all of us, if we said, "Are you in favor of such a project?" and we said, "No, I am not in favor of spending all this kind of time and money and effort for something that doesn't work on stuff," you know, we wouldn't like that. So here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is cautioning us about the same thing. Putting a big religious effort into something that just avails us for nothing. That doesn't do anything for us, you know. Just like this, like, you know, we don't want to do this going through the motions thing here. So it's like this, you know, you get up and you get dressed and you come down here. Could have been sleeping in anyway. You're singing some songs or taking the Lord's Supper. You're hearing one of my stolen sermons. And then if we go back out, if this ever happened, we went back out into the parking lot and there's Jesus standing there and approaches us and says, you know, what you did was useless. What effort you put in today was for naught. He says, it didn't please the Father at all what you did. You received nothing for your effort. And a lot of folks do the opposite. They think it's the opposite stuff. They go like, you know, whatever effort I gave here, God is going to be so appreciative of me. I got up. I didn't want to come here, but I did it. And I did some religious stuff, and aren't I great for doing that kind of thing? I forced myself to come here instead of sleeping in. And Jesus is saying, take heed. That's the first verse here of this chapter. Take heed, which means beware, be careful, watch out. Because it's possible, Jesus is saying, that our efforts could be for naught. So in this sermon that Jesus has given to us, he's telling the citizens of his kingdom how they are to be feeling, you know. And he gives a warning back in Matthew 5 in verse 20. And he says, for I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will be not by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And that throws people, like I've said before, when they say that, you know, exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Those guys were pretty religious. How could I ever meet them? What they're doing is outside. How they appeared on the outside. Our righteousness needs to exceed them. We need to exceed them in that internal righteousness, not the external righteousness that they had. Because they were always concerned about how they looked, but not about what they were thinking and stuff. You know, they were constantly looking for loopholes, how to get around things, so they could do whatever they wanted. And then the real reason for their actions is to be praised by men. So we look here in Matthew 6:1, and Jesus is talking about the outside. Why are you doing these religious stuff? Why are you doing this thing? What's your motivation for doing this thing? And Jesus is saying, watch out. Because if we're not careful, we could be just like these Pharisees and scribes. He says, all the things that we're doing is for nothing. And Jesus is going to say, you have no reward from the Father by doing this stuff. So Jesus is highlighting right here three things here in this little section of his sermon. He talks about giving to the poor, he talks about praying, and then he talks about fasting. And this was a big part of the Jewish life on this thing. This is a big thing. So how are we supposed to do these things then? How do we do these things so we can seek the reward from God? Because we want our efforts to be fruitful. We don't want to be wasting our time. We want it to have an effect with God. And we don't want to be doing this, you know, going through the motion stuff. You know, get in here, get out, get back to our lives. And, you know, we're in the end, we're just wasting our time. We want that reward from heaven. So how do we do this? How do we practice righteousness as Jesus sees it? And in this sermon, Jesus is going to give us the answers here. All right, so three parts here. All right, practicing our before men is what the big concern is here. It's an overall statement, and he breaks it down. Different ways of acting. So now, first of all, when we look at this thing, doesn't Jesus say in Matthew 5:16 of this sermon, he says, let your light so shine before men that they're going to see your good works and they're going to glorify God? Yeah. And so this phrase here that I've heard about this, he says, we are to show our good works when we're tempted to hide them. And we are to hide our good works when we are tempted to show them. Let me say it again here. It says, we are to show our good works when we're tempted to hide them. And we are to hide our good works when we're tempted to show them. It's the desire to be seen by men is our Savior's concern on here. And we look here in this chapter 6 in verses 2 through 4. It says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They may have actually sounded the trumpet there. Went out there in the streets or whatever, call to the poor, hey, poor people, I've got money. Come on over to me right now. Everybody would come over to this guy so he could hand out the money there, Jesus. You know, but what was the result of that? The result was, hey, everybody, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing this great deeds here and stuff. And I bet it was kind of embarrassing for the poor. You know, everybody that's poor, come on over here and get some money. So everybody shows up there like that. And remember, maybe it was like giving in the temple in front of everybody. Maybe they had the first century version of the armor car pull up, and they got the special guards like the Pinkerton guards. You know, it's close enough, buddy. We're going over here. You know, everybody make a big deal. I'm putting a lot of money into this treasury and stuff. Yeah. But in verse 2, what do we see here? It says, at the end, they have their reward, which means their reward has been paid in full. Which means this is all they're going to get. They're not going to get anything else out of this thing. So in verse 3, he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And that is a figure of speech for all you right brain, left brain people there on this. He doesn't say that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing and stuff on this. But it shows us how important it is to keep this thing quiet here. We don't want to be patting ourselves on the back either on this thing. No, so our praise should be from God, not from man, not even from ourselves. And I tell you, if nobody knows who did the good deed, well, who do they got left to praise? It's going to be God here and stuff that gets the praise. Somebody does something nice. The best one is like if you can really do a good deed and nobody knows you did it. Because people look around, who did this good deed? And they're going, nobody's coming forward. And they look right, they look left. And after a while, they start looking up. And they go, well, thank you, Father, for this. God gets the praise there on that stuff. You know, it's hard to get away with, but if you can do things without anybody knowing you're the one doing it, then God gets all the praise. Because that is the big thing. That's where I want the praise to come from. Not from men, but I want it to come from God here. And that's where, because that's what God wants me to do on this thing. And he wants to be able to praise us on this. So we're not seeking the praises of men. Okay, the next one is when we pray. So we got Matthew 6, and we're looking at verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. I guess the Jewish custom of the day was to pray about 3 times a day. Kind of like Daniel in Daniel 6 and verse 10, where he got in trouble, got thrown in the lion's den. He said that was his custom. He prayed 3 times a day. There's a pretty good bluegrass tune Daniel prayed. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, Lana's shaking her head yes on that. It's a pretty good. Don't after services look it up. Don't not right now, but don't miss. But you had 3 times. You prayed in the morning. You prayed at noon. Prayed in the evening. So if you timed it just right, and you just happen to be out in the marketplace, and it's noon, it's time to pray. I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to be praying here. And what they're doing is just, you know, I'm going to show everybody how religious I am. And everything. So everybody gets to watch me praying and see how religious I am. Maybe also in the temple. We look at that in Luke 18, in verse 10, about that Pharisee and the tax collector. And that guy's saying this big old prayer there in the temple, like how great I am. And I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector. You know what? Do you see that at the end in verse 14? Who went down to his house justified? You know, it was not the guy who exalted himself there. So we're just, what they're doing now, they're just using God to gain compliments and praise. And in verse 5 of this, he says, it makes us a hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite's kind of an early reference there. It's different than the hypocrite, the definition of a hypocrite today. Hypocrite today is somebody that criticizes you for doing something, meanwhile they're doing the exact same thing. That's what we look at as a hypocrite. Hypocrite back then was somebody that was like an actor. Somebody that's playing a part. And what part are they playing? Well, they're playing the part of a righteous person. They're pretending to be a righteous person there. So their praying is pretend. It's fake. It doesn't connect them to the Lord. And really, it's just a waste of time. It's all for naught. So prayer is for us to connect with God. I hope I'm not getting too much of your stuff, Archie, but it's on this. It's, we use prayer to seek God out. So we can receive His blessings. We're talking to God, and we want to be a better servant. We don't pray so that we can get more likes on Facebook and stuff when we're doing that stuff. We're saying because we want to connect with God here. So we're looking for a quiet place to talk to God, and there you're going to find the true reward. And if you're praying before a group, well, don't be a show-off when you're growing. You know, we see that in Matthew 6, in verses 7 and 8. And when they pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them. You know, you always see this, guys talk a certain way, but when we're praying, we start using a whole big different language when we're talking. And it's just this flowery speech that we don't normally use. And we use terms that we don't use in normal times. Like, I don't know, Alan, remember that? Dave also. The guys just say, bless those on beds of affliction. I bet you're sick. So I try that at work when I was working. Sorry, Sarge, I couldn't come in today. I was on a bed of affliction. He goes, what does that mean, Mick? I go, it means I was sick. Well, just write sick, all right? We got stuff to do and stuff. Okay, all right. Yeah. But it sounds really, really flowery and stuff like that. We use all these and thous that we don't normally use and stuff. But if we're doing it to try to impress people, we're just wasting our time on that stuff. So we're warned in verse 7 not to use these vain repetitions. And again, the vain repetitions there is don't be praying mindlessly. Is there anything wrong with a long prayer? No, there's nothing wrong with a long prayer. Jesus prayed all night in the garden about stuff. We have to be praying with the understanding of that. So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, he just says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Praying with the understanding what you're praying for. I myself fall into this problem here. I don't know if you've ever had that, I pray in the same way a lot of times because I have no imagination. So I kind of say the same prayer a lot of times on this stuff. But then my mind starts to wander. I would compare this to, have you ever done this, leaving work? And you get in your car and you drive home and you're thinking about stuff. And all of a sudden you pull into your driveway and you go, I don't remember driving this car. And then you start to get concerned. I get concerned. Did I stop for all the red lights? Did I stop for the stop signs? Did I change lanes without looking and stuff? And I'm going, and I start getting nervous. And the answer is, yes, you did. You stopped for all the red lights. You stopped for the stop signs. And you look before you cross and all that stuff. But you got so used to driving, it's almost like muscle memory. You're seeing stuff, you can concentrate on something else while you're doing this driving. And that works for driving, but it does not work for praying. Now let me give you an example of this stuff. So I like to pray for everybody here. And I'll be praying along there. And I'll say, please bless McCaden. And then my mind goes, McCaden, well, he likes those wings I make, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. I like those too. I wonder if I should make some. Those would be great. Oh, I wonder if I should make them next week. We got the thing. But no, I think Allison's got some stuff going on, so I probably can't do that there. But boy, I'm getting hungry. And all of a sudden, I'm still praying. And all of a sudden, I go, and bless Linda. I'm like, wait a minute. I go, I'm from McCaden to Linda and everybody in between. I don't remember any of the other people in between. I go, like, so I had to back right back up. I go, okay, let me start it at McCaden and go like, well, bless Kay and Eddie. I'm sorry, that's the way I do it, Mindy. Chris first, and I go right to left. I don't make up the rules, but that's the way I do it there and stuff. But it says, like, you know, you're praying and your mind's gone somewhere and you're thinking about something. But those words are just coming. I can hear myself saying those words. I said, but I'm not listening to those words and stuff. So we don't want to do that. We want to be focused on God here on this stuff, you know. So we pray not to give God the news about stuff. We pray because He already knows this stuff. We says we pray to express our dependence on Him and to humble ourselves. And if we don't ask, we won't receive. That's what we saw with John's reading here today. It said in James 4 in verses 2 and 3, it says you don't get because you don't ask. And when you ask, you ask wrong. You ask it so that you can spend it on yourself, and that. So you're asking for the wrong reasons. You're not even getting things because you don't even ask and stuff. You know, so maybe it's you're asking the wrong reasons. It might be you're at one of the ways you're asking is like, you know, God, you owe me. I came in here for services. I think you owe me something here on that. That's the wrong thing. So James 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when we pray, here's my situation. Please take care of me. And if it's not your will to do these things, then please comfort me and strengthen me. And I know it's part of your plan, and help me be a good servant. So I would also encourage all the men that get up here to pray, I want to hear you guys praying. I don't want to hear that thing like, oh, I don't have a flowery speech or that. That is not the issue. Because what I've found, the people, everybody's got a different viewpoint on something, and somebody starts saying a prayer, and I'm going like, I wasn't thinking of that at all, and I'm glad he reminded me of that part of a prayer, that concern and stuff. There's so many things that have been the greatest prayers by people that probably thought they didn't give a good prayer, and they've been really good there. All right, so we got verses 9 through 15 about the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to speak on that another time here. You know, not this morning. So, though, again, we don't want to say a mindless repetition of this prayer. When I went to DeSales High School, we had to do, before our football games, we would say the rosary, and we do these Our Fathers. You know, and when he was really good at doing Our Fathers, I could crank this prayer out in about 10 seconds, because we wanted to get that thing done so we could get and play the game. And we don't know anything about this prayer. We've said it a million times, and we don't understand this prayer. So we want to look into that stuff. But that's for another sermon here. Okay, but let's take a quick look at fasting. That's verses 16 through 18 here on this. And he says the first question, I guess, that comes up for a lot of people is, are we supposed to be fasting? You know, though there's no New Testament command to say, I want you people to be fasting, we can see examples that Jesus fasted, and we've got the apostles fasting. We've got Paul, before his conversion, he fasted for 3 days. You go back in the Old Testament, people like King Jehoshaphat commanded it when the country was being attacked. And I think fasting comes at a time of crisis there. It's time to humble ourselves before God. And fasting does help us focus on God. And from experience, I've been so upset at times that I wasn't even hungry. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling. You're so upset, you're not even hungry and stuff. And that's the kind of fasting that we're talking about. But instead of those questions, whether you should be fasting or not, Jesus talks about what we are to be doing when we fast. In verse 17, he's saying, you wash your face, you anoint your head. You don't walk around looking all gaunt and disfigured and, you know, like so worn out where people are coming up to you and saying, hey, how are you doing? I'm fasting. You know, like, oh, wow, that's something I'm doing here and stuff. You know, so to get that praise and stuff. People do fast today, called dieting. They do it to look healthy or to look good. But if you're fasting for God and you're moping around for everybody to see how spiritual you are, then it's a vain effort. You're not going to get anything from God there on that. All right, so in conclusion, this Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' constitution for citizenship in His kingdom. He's telling His disciples, if you're going to be a disciple in My kingdom, this is how you're going to be. We're going to be thinking different. That's chapter 5 talks about that. We're thinking different. And we're going to be acting different. And that's chapter 6 starts that, how we act. Because the reward we get from Jesus is infinitely better than any reward we're going to get from man. So we want to do this the correct way. It's going to help us, and it's going to get us closer to God there. Now, Jesus' word is absolute. So if you're doing these things for the praises of men, then there's just going to be no reward from God. There's just no exceptions to this. So why do you do the things you do? You got to analyze yourself on that. Are you doing things for man, or are you doing things for God? And if we want to be working for the greater reward, and that's with God. So that's my sermon for this morning. Thank you for your attention. We give this time now for anybody that needs some prayers from the congregation. This is an excellent time. It's a good group to come forward to. If there's some that's bothering you, or that you need strength for, or maybe you need to make things right with the Lord to begin with, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, so you can be a child of God in that. Or you just need some help with certain things. This is a time we encourage you to come forward, and while we'll stand and sing our song of invitation, come forward if you need any help there.